So take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 11 is where we'll be. It has been a week. I've grown a year older as of this morning. I'm old as dirt now, to tell you the truth. Let's stand and go to the Lord in His book. Everybody got your Bibles with you? Do this for me. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Just checking. I feel bring your Bibles because man will lie to you and God will not. Amen. Now Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sodomite, Hittite. Now he had some tight friends, didn't he? From the nations concerned in which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives who were princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wife turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, gods of the Sodomites, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not wholly follow the Lord as David his father did. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, an abomination of Moab, and Molech, the abomination of the Amorites, on the mountain east of Jerusalem. And so he did for all his foreign wives, who made offerings and sacrifices to their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning the things that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord commanded. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, since this has been your practice and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes that I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Yet for David's sake, your father, I will not do it in your days, but will tear it out of the hands of your son. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful for this day. Lord, I pray as we bring this message that you'd help me as I bring the message in a way that maybe would help us as we walk our everyday life. Those things, Lord, that we are supposed to do, I pray you'd strengthen us that we would be able to do that. Lord, we live in some troubling times right now. And for all of us, Lord, there's been a time whenever we could be just like Solomon was here, make wrong decisions. So I pray, Lord, that you'd keep our heart on you. And I pray that our mind would stay on you. And I pray, Lord, this morning that as I bring this message, that you'd anoint me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I pray that I'd bring the message that you would have brought today. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified in all that is said and done. We give you honor for all that you do. Save souls today, Lord. Encourage hearts. Bring us into a right relationship with you. Join us and unite us together in one heart as we worship you today. As we humble ourselves in your presence, may you be glorified. We ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. You can be seated. Well, this is really a neat story here about a great king. A man who was certainly had the ability to be whatever God had created him to be. Just like you. You are a man or a woman that is capable of doing exactly what God's created you to do. And he's got something for you to do, as I said many times. So just like Solomon here, we can make decisions or we can compromise things, especially in the day we live in. You are asked on every hand to compromise some things in your life. Sometimes we need to compromise. A healthy compromise is not wrong. And sometimes it helps us in situations if it's a healthy one. Now, healthy compromise is this. One that does not have you to give up those things that are right or compromise those things that are right. Those are healthy decisions to make. And sometimes we have to do that just to keep things moving forward. Have you ever had to make a choice in your life or in your family's life that maybe you had to compromise on something that you normally would not have compromised on, but it did not change the values that you have? I think really we're going into an election time. And now we've got that opportunity. Now we can do what is right or we can compromise truth. We can either look at what is right with God and what God would have us to do, what God would expect out of us. We could make that choice, either stand or compromise. Now, I just want to read you a little bit here, if you would allow me to do that. Solomon, the Bible says here he had 700 wives. That meant 700 mother-in-laws and 700 father-in-laws and a bunch of sister and brother-in-laws, didn't it? 700 wives. Now, that doesn't even make sense, does it? Can you imagine a birthday coming around and you could not just buy one present, you had to buy 700? And then, there was 300 concubines, so he had to keep them happy with whatever he bought the others. Well, you can see where I'm going with that. But this man is considered to be the wisest man that ever lived, the richest man that has ever lived was Solomon. He has given us so much wisdom in his book of Proverbs that he wrote in his later life because he had learned a whole lot of stuff. And here we find him in a compromising position. And God tells him a number of things that he has done wrong after he had completely, directly understood what God has said. Do not join yourself with these people. Now, why is that? Because they will lead you away from me. A lot of times we do that. A lot of times we don't take a stand on whatever it is. And we might have a friend or we might have a new acquaintance that might want us to compromise something in our life that is of utmost importance and certainly of moral values. And they might want us to compromise those things. Or they might want us to do things that we know is not good for a Christian to do. And so we have to make up our mind, are we going to do what they want us to do? Am I being enticed by that? The Bible says that he was. As smart as he was a man that was easily enticed, apparently. He had that type, I guess, of charisma about him. He loved people and they loved him and he was just drawn to them. The Bible says he loved those beautiful women. Wow. Now that will get you in trouble. You know that? I don't know how in the world he done it with 700 wives, 300 concubines. I don't understand that. How that even happened. But here is Solomon standing before the altar of God. Sometime before this scripture here. Here's what he said. Said, then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands towards heaven. And he said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept with your servant David, my father, what you declared to him. You spoke with your mouth and with your hand have fulfilled it this day. Here we find a man who is focused on God. A man who understood what God wanted and had seen the evidence of God's work before him. He said, this day you've done this. Now, he was standing in the temple that had been built. And he's dedicating this temple. And he said, you have fulfilled your promise to my father David this very day. So he had seen the ability of God to intervene in man's way of life, in man's everyday life, and to do what was seemed to be impossible to do. That's the same way he is with us. Maybe there's a time in our lives whenever we come to know God and we gave our life to him. We said, Lord, I'm going to live for you for the best I can all of my life, and I'm going to be obedient unto you. And we find ourselves compromising things that might lead us astray, that might lead us in the wrong direction. Maybe none of us in here have done that. Maybe it's just the people outside the walls of the church, outside, you know, maybe they're looking on the internet. Maybe they're not even doing that. But listen, all of us have found ourselves compromising things that we should not compromise. Well, what do we do when we do that? Whenever there's a healthy compromise made, and it does like what Solomon done, and has led you astray from God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever made some compromise or just give in on a situation that instead of building your life up around Christ, it begins to tear you apart from Christ? And you find yourselves, first of all, missing your prayer time. David was standing before the altar here praying to God. Now we find him in a mess, and God is correcting him. God is saying, Solomon, here's what you've got to do. So I want to talk about those things. What do we do with compromise when we make the wrong decision? I've made so many times I've made the wrong decision and compromised the wrong way. Instead of it being of a blessing, it become at times a hardship. So I'm sure probably you yourself has made some decisions that has made it harder in your life spiritually than what it should be, or could be better than what it is. So there's a way, if you would, looking at this thing, that there is a progression on compromise if we do it in the wrong spirit. It's not good to compromise just to keep the peace, and you have to give up those things that are valuable, those things of life that are important, those moral standards that we have, those standards of faith that we have. It's wrong to give those up. It's wrong to even bend on those things. We should stand strong on what thus saith the Word of God. Without compromise, we should uphold the Word of God. But there is a progression in compromise. That's exactly what happens here. When we begin to do things and get out of God's will and get him out of our focus, and begin to look at the things around us and begin to enjoy the things of the world instead of the things of God. And I'm afraid that's where a lot of Christians are right now. They're not focusing on God. They're not having their joy of the Lord. They're not being strengthened by God. They are just walking in this life, and they are just giving in, doing whatever it takes, maybe to make themselves feel good, the flesh feel good, or they might just be giving in because they don't have no other way to do it. Well, here's the thing. The first step of the progression of compromise, of a wrong compromise, is this. We begin to see the things around us, and we begin to admire them. The Bible says here that David loved strange women. Now, that don't mean they were strange in the sense of being weird. They were foreign women from different countries. But the Bible says here that he seen them, and it seemed a little, didn't seem like it was that big of a thing. When he saw the women, and the Bible says that he was one who loved the strange women. Now, instead of setting up standards for himself and guards for himself, he just walked right on out into the blindness of what the Bible said, that he admired these other women. He was just drawn to them. And instead of setting those standards for himself and building around him some walls of protection to help him, he finds himself walking in it, getting deeper and deeper and deeper until he gets 700 wives and 300 concubines of the very people that God said, you are not to join yourself with because they're going to lead you away. We need to set some standards ourselves. I like the idea Billy Graham had. You know, he was one of the great evangelists that there was never no mud on him. He always had a clean record. You know why? Because to very begin with, when he began carrying the gospel back when he was early 20s, he set standards around him. He made sure there were some things that he did not do, and he always had somebody with him to guard him so nobody could drag him into something else or accuse him of something. And he, for all these years, that's the way he walked. He was a man of integrity. And that's what we need to be. We need to be men and women of integrity. And don't allow the progression of compromise to entangle us in something that will lead us away from our God. Because, listen, association has a lot to do with compromise. Who we fellowship with, who we hang around with. You know, it's like you. Here's what I see in this thing. We as Christians cannot block ourselves off from everybody where we don't have any contact with those that do not know him. If we done that, how would we be a witness in this world? If we just point a finger at everybody and just said, you know, I can't do this, but you can't do that. But here's what we can do. We cannot compromise our faith, but still have friends that's outside the faith. I think that's what God wants us to do. Not to pull ourselves away as if we don't care about those that are lost. Because here's what will happen if we're not careful. We will pull ourselves away and our witness will be of no effect. But we have to be careful because of this thing. We are enrobed in a sinful nature called flesh. This flesh has not yet been born again. The inner man has been, but not the flesh. The flesh is still wrapped and desires sin. And if we're not careful, if we hang around with those all the time that are not believers, we will find ourselves, instead of drawing them in, when we compromise and do what they do, we won't draw them in, they'll draw us out. You have to be careful about that. That's exactly what happened to him. He began to associate, and he began to cleave, the Bible says, to those women that he loved. And, you know, that was a crazy statement, that he loved all those people, all those women. And so he associated himself with them, and what did it do? It pulled him away from God. Pulled him away from God. Pulled him away from what God had promised him. He would have been a great... Can you just imagine what Solomon's life would have been if he hadn't had that part of his life that he was entangled in what he knew that God had said do not do? We're the same way. Sometimes we get entangled in stuff that we know that God is not pleased with, and instead of stepping away from it, we do like him. We cleave to it as if it's the most important thing that we've ever done. And the most important thing we can ever do is to face him directly and understand his word. Because whenever we compromise in the wrong way, we begin to participate in what is wrong. We begin to participate in those things. The Bible says here in verse 3 that Solomon began to chase other gods. And he set up altars everywhere for whatever god it was, even Molech, who they would take their babies and put it in the arms of Molech, who had a fire in its stomach, and dedicate the babies and sacrifice the babies to the Lord. Well, we're doing that now. It's called abortion. and we're sacrificing our babies to abortion. Just like the people of Moloch, the people of America is going to have something to answer to. And we've compromised that. We've compromised that. He compromises and he began to set up gods all around him. Altars that was, instead of worshiping the God of glory, he began to worship the things that his wives worshiped, wanting to be, I guess, having favor with him. I don't know why he would do that. I don't know why we do what we do whenever God has called us to do and worship him. When we begin to participate in those things, we can guarantee one thing. Our compromise is going to get God's attention, and he's going to begin to work in our life to pull us out of that. Now, he might have to do some harsh things in our lives. Listen, this life as a Christian is not always the bed of roses. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we just need to follow him and forget what this world could give us, because this world cannot give us life. It could take that from us. But God is able to give us life, able to give us hope, able to give us a good life now and eternal life for eternity. But what happens whenever we compromise? Our hearts begin to get corrupt. All of a sudden, the things of God don't matter anymore. You ever been there? You ever found yourself caught up in the world and the things of God don't mean anything to you? They're not important anymore. Oh, you know, they're in the back of your mind. You know what's right and what's wrong. But doing that is hard to do because we're not focused on him anymore. And our heart becomes so corrupt that it gets to the place where we can't even hear God's corrections. We don't fellowship with him because our heart has got so hard and so indifferent, so corrupt, that the results of that compromise is eating us up. We need some way, somehow, to help us get through those things. And it'll affect every part of our life. It's strange how we can do one thing and we think, you know, if I let this in here, this is the only place that can hurt me, but it can hurt everything about us in our walk with God. Every single thing. Nothing is safe whenever we compromise in the wrong direction. And everything begins to collapse around us. Everything begins to fall apart. And we begin to wonder, why is this happening? And we've got so hard-hearted and so indifferent that it's going to take God something big to make us stop and think. He told Solomon here, he said, listen, you've not lived like your father did. I've made these, that's Damon Lee version. I've made these promises to David. And I said I would do it with you. But you ain't been like your daddy. You didn't walk with me like he did. And because you haven't walked with what I have given you, what I have allowed you to be a part of, you're not going to have that anymore. I'm going to rip it from your hands and give it to someone else. Listen, I don't want somebody else to get what God has got for me, do you? I want to have what God wants for me. I want to be able to walk in his will and to be with him and to know that his presence is there. He told him, he said, I will be with you. God told Joshua, don't you worry about one thing. I'm going to be with you. I will not leave you. I'll be there with you. Don't you worry. And that's the way we need to understand the compromise in those things that causes corruption and causes everything to begin to collapse around us. It's costly. It costs us a lot. Sometimes David said, listen, excuse me, not David, Paul said that he wanted to guard himself so that after he's preached to all these people the gospel, that he himself does not do something to cause him to shipwreck, to cause him not to be able to be used by God. Paul said, I don't want that. I don't want that. I want to make sure. I want to make sure that I am available for God whenever God needs me and wants me. So we have to be careful with the with those things. There's some areas I just want to talk about real quick, and we'll be done in just a few minutes, maybe 10, 15. What are some of the things that we are compromising today? I think one of the biggest things is faith. We are compromising faith. And we are making God out to be a God that He's not. We are making the faith that we proclaim is the power of God in our life, but we want to do it and cause it not to change. People want to name the name of Jesus without ever having a change in heart. They want to keep on doing what they're doing and say, well, I have been born again. Well, let me tell you something. When we are born again, there's someone who lives within us that don't let us do some of those things we used to do. And it's acceptable now in churches everywhere that as long as you are a member here, it don't matter how you live your life. You can live like the world, act like the world, think like the world, do like the world, and it don't matter. Well, it does matter. It does matter. And we have compromised in that area. We're afraid to stand up for what is right. We want people to come in without any conversion whatsoever. Don't matter how they come in. But the truth is, there's only one way to be a part of the church. There's a lot of ways to be a part of Victory. But to be a part of His church, there's only one way. And that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. No other way will we ever be able to make it into heaven. So we have to be careful. We don't compromise the faith. We don't have a form of faith that don't have us to surrender to Him. That's what faith is. It's that I am giving up. You ever heard the old saying? The Bible says this, that the lights of heaven have shined in their heart. That's what we need. We need God to enlighten us with the lights of heaven, to show us our sin, so that we are sinners. And when we realize that, now listen, when we realize that God is convicting us of our sin, there will be a change in our life. So we can't have a compromise in the area of faith. We can't say there's more than one way to heaven. Oh, I know they said that we're narrow-minded when we say that, but that's the only way. If we don't come through Jesus, we ain't coming no way. When we stand before God, it's not going to be because we have worked our way there or some other God who's not even a God, who is just a figment of man's imagination, is just... The only way in is God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through the conversion of the Holy Spirit. Being baptized, immersed into Christ. That's the only way that we'll go. If we don't go that way, we're not going. So we cannot compromise the faith. There is no other faith. We can't compromise on the separation of the world. I've had people say this, well, you know, you don't have to be a fanatic. Well, I don't think we're fanatics. I don't think we're fanatics. But I've had people say, well, you know, you're just too, you're a fanatic about that, aren't you? Well, no, I'm not a fanatic about it. I just believe the truth. And so we have to be careful and not compromise separating ourselves from the world. Even if they want to call us holy rollers, if they want to call us crazy, whatever they want to call us, Jesus freaks, Bible thumpers, whatever they want to say, we cannot separate ourselves from holiness. We cannot do that. But listen, in a lot of churches, they are so removed from for aiming for holiness I remember we were down in Atlanta. We were coming home that day. We'd stopped by McDonald's to get a breakfast, and there was a man in there. It was a Sunday morning, and an older man was in there. I don't know how old. It was probably my age or more, because he was old as dirt. But he said, you know what? He said, things are so crazy now. Because he was dressed up. I said, are you headed to church? He said, yeah, I'm going to church. I said, I thought so. And he said, but you know, church is different now. Man, they're doing all kinds of crazy stuff at church now. I said, yeah, I know that. I said, it's the same back home. He said, where are you from? I said, from Eastern North Carolina. Same way. He said, can you believe they want to take the steeple off the top of the church so people won't know that it's a church? I said, well, guess what? They're doing the same thing back home, too. I remember going in a church that didn't look nothing like a church. And you know what they said? Here's what they told me. Well, we decided to build it like this, so if we ever needed to sell it, it wouldn't look like a church. We are so afraid that somebody's going to get turned away from church. Listen to me. They'll say, well, we don't want to run them off. Well, listen to me. They didn't run off to start with. The Bible says they're already condemned. They're already on their way to hell, so where are we going to send them? Hell number two? No. So we cannot compromise. What is wrong? Let me tell you something. The temple looked like the temple. Did you know that? And it represented something. It represented that Israel was different than the rest of the world. Churches represent we're different than the rest of the world. At least it's supposed to. So they said, let's take the steeple off. Let's go further. We got columns in the front of a church. Let's take them off too. Let's just pitch a tent. People don't like to be in the building, you know, nowadays. Let's just pitch a tent. We can't compromise those things. I just believe, I'm old-fashioned, I know. I'm in the middle of a cornfield preaching. That's where I come from, right out of the back of patch. And so I know what I'm talking about here because I know over these 40-some years of being in ministry, teaching and preaching the Word of God, I have seen so many things that have changed. Even at one time, I remember when I was a young boy in our neighborhood, even the worst man of the neighborhood respected the church and the preacher. Now they don't respect themselves, much less anything else. So we cannot allow ourselves to be worried about whether or not we are fanatical about it. And we cannot worry about whether we're going to run somebody off. If you're preaching the truth. Now listen, I don't think we should do anything to make somebody angry. We should not intentionally be hateful to somebody, to anybody. But if the Word of God says that we're sinners, we're sinners. If the Word of God says that the wages of sin is death, guess what? The wages of sin is death. If the Bible says that on that day there'll be many that says, I've done this and that in your name, and Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you, guess what? That's exactly what's going to happen. We can't compromise those things. Our God is too great to compromise. Listen to me. Now, this is a stupid example, all right? So don't laugh at it, all right? I worked with Keebler Company a long time. And you know what? I've been gone from there 25 years probably. When I go in a grocery store today, I still check the Keebler section. And it makes me so mad. It makes me so mad. And Roger checks delays potato chips. He sure does, I know. It makes me just as mad as I can be because the company has sold out and they don't have the representation they used to have out there. Now, that makes me mad. And this has been 25 years later. And I still have that embedded in me to think that they're number one. And it's hard to find them on a shelf anymore. But they made the best product in the world. Listen to me. I use that as an example. We've got the greatest message ever to be told. If we begin to compromise that and don't do what God has called us to do, if we just begin to compromise everywhere and forget that we're supposed to be fanatical about Jesus, and we give up everything, we give up the way we look, the way we act, we cannot compromise on soul winning. But here's the sad thing about that. 98% of most Christians, 98%, has never won one person to the Lord. 95% of Christians don't read their Bibles except for when they're in church. I can see why we can compromise on soul winning. I've been out on visitation when they would crawl out the window. That's the honest truth. Go in the back room, crawl out the window because they didn't want to talk about the Lord. That's the truth. I had someone tell me one time many years ago, said, listen, they told me I'm coming to church. I'd invite them. I said, well, I'm coming. And they didn't come. So when I saw them next, I said, listen, I thought you were coming to church. They said, yeah, but we were out of peanut butter. I said, out of peanut butter? What do you mean you're out of peanut butter? I said, we had to go get some peanut butter. We're out of peanut butter. I thought to myself, oh, my gracious alive. Oh, my gracious. And listen, everybody will not accept it, okay? There's going to be, the Bible says that in hell has enlarged. Did you know hell was not even made for man? It's not made for man. It was created for the devil and his angels. That's what it was created for, not for man. God don't want a single man or woman in hell. It weren't made for us. But the Bible says it's enlarged itself because of us. It's enlarged itself because of us. So, we cannot compromise soul winning because hell is being filled up. The Bible says, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Broad, it says. And many there is that goes that way. And that word in the original means a clear majority goes that way. So, we can't compromise soul winning. But understand this too. We will not win everybody we share with. Some will crawl out the window. Some will go get peanut butter. Some will lie to you. Some will do whatever. But that still does not supposed to stop us from sharing the good news. The guy that crawled out the window did later on come to know the Lord a few years down the road. Who knows? Maybe us going in the house that night might have triggered something to God, gave God the opportunity to speak to him when he was going out the window thinking, why in the world am I going out this window? Them crazy people in that front room, but people do anything. So we can't compromise on soul winning. And we can't compromise on substance. We have to give him all that we are and all that we have. We can't hold on to any, because it's not ours to start with. He just allows us to play with it for a little while. But you know, before we owned the property where we live at, somebody else owned it. And somebody before that guy owned it, and somebody before that guy owned it. We've only got it for a little while. So what we are building up, we should build up with the kingdom of God, doing the things he's asked us to do, building up treasures in heaven, so that whenever we're gone out of here and our property here is gone, guess what? We've got abundance of wealth in heaven. That's where we need to be. And we cannot allow our substance here to hold us back. We cannot drive after the things of this world and make that the most important part of our life. We cannot do that. And we cannot compromise on commitment. The church needs its people to be committed. A church that has people that do not work and do not serve is a church that's not moving anywhere. It's a church that's backing up. It's just a group of people getting together is all it is. It's not really a church. A church is alive growing and moving. I know right now it looks bleak because of all this mess that's going on. But listen to me, it don't change the fact that we still have a call from God, that we still have some things that we've got to do to make God where God will be pleased with us. We've got to have some accountability. We've got to be able to say, I can count on that person. I can count on that teacher. I can count on that deacon. I can count on that those people that's a part of whatever part it is, a want of people, whatever it might be. I can count on them. I know myself, I said this a lot of times. There's some people that are like the paint on the wall. When I get here, I just expect them to be here like the paint is on the wall. That's the way we should be. I come out here yesterday, me and Wanda, and we gave the fire ants a little extra something to eat. Forty years ago, if the preacher was doing that, me and Wanda would have been at the church watching him do it. Things have changed. I can remember whenever we first started here, we could pull up, and it was just this building over here was here. We pull up in front over there. 10 minutes later, there'd be 25, 30 people in here from the apartments. Now, it ain't like that anymore. They don't do that. People don't do it. We cannot give up. We have to have an accountability, whether it's going the way we think it should or whether it's not. So we got to have a renewing of our mind. We have to renew our mind. And the only one that I know can do that is God. He tells us here, let's not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, doing that which is acceptable unto God. That's the way we're supposed to be as believers. The Bible says we're to confess our faults. Confess them to Him. The Bible says confess them to one another. Because, see, I might need someone to help me in an area that I have a fault in. I might need an encourager. I remember when Billy was here visiting. He'd come by the house to see me. And at that time he was living in Louisiana, I think. And he was here visiting, and so he'd come by the house to see me. I tried to get him to rest, he wouldn't, but anyway. While we were standing there talking, his phone rang. He answered the phone. And he said, "Brother, I'm doing great today. I hope you are." And he had a little short conversation between each other. And he hung up the phone, and he says, "We talk every single day. He's my encourager. And he calls me every day," he said. "Every day he'll call me to know, want to know how I'm doing. Am I having any things that I need him to pray for?" He said, and we share things back and forth all the time. Every day we're in contact. Listen, sometimes we need to share our faults one with another so that our friends that love us can stand beside us and help us through those times. Because listen, none of us are perfect. If you look around here and think, well, who's the perfect one in here? Guess what? You won't find one. But if you can look around here and see some people that need the perfection of God in their life, you can see everybody. Everybody. Because we all need it. So, what we need to do is call on God, share with Him, tell Him what's going on in our life, and ask for His help, ask for His strength, and say, "Lord, don't let me compromise. Strengthen me where I won't compromise in the wrong way." Now, like I said, there's nothing wrong with compromise. Sometimes you have to do that. But we can't compromise Him. So we might need to just stop for a moment and say, "God, I want you to work in my heart right now. And I want you to reveal to me anything in my heart right now that I've compromised, that shouldn't be compromised. I want you, Lord, to be my strength that I can move from my compromising position, have my mind renewed, and be useful to you. Maybe this morning you just need to say, I've compromised with the world too much, and I've allowed myself to get caught up in the world, doing the things of the world, acting like the world. Today, I need God's strength and forgiveness. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, oh, I've never really known him. I've never really gave my life to him. And today, you need to. It's simple. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's simple. So let's bow our heads and ask his will to be done. Father, we love you. Thank you for the chance to stand here today and just bring the message.